Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Bible tells us that in Christ, we are dead to sin and to the world and even to ourselves. Not only so, it tells us that we also have been raised in Christ and made alive to God in Christ. This is truly wonderful, and we treasure verses like these that point us to the spiritual facts that are true in Christ. But does simply knowing these facts help us in our day-to-day walk? Does our experience parallel what is true in Christ? Well, I think we all know the answer to this question, and the struggle and the anguish that most serious believers go through trying desperately to experience in us what is factually true in Christ. Ron Kangas has joined us today as we come back again to consider how to bring into reality the reality of being in Christ. Welcome back to the program, Ron.
Thank you for inviting me back for this broadcast. As you were giving your introductory word, I was considering, while of course agreeing with it, I was considering how many believers really know the facts of what the Bible reveals concerning what is ours in Christ and what is true of us in Christ, and how many, and I'm implying that it's a lesser number, have a spiritual vision of these facts, that they really see what the Bible reveals concerning the believer's being in Christ. Well, this program is not focused on our seeing of the facts, but still, Chris, before we get into this, I wanted to point out that we are by no means glossing over the facts, neither are we underestimating the value of seeing the facts, but we're burdened that the facts would be translated into experiential reality, and I'm happy to explore that with you on the basis of Paul's word in Colossians and our brother Lee's life study ministry to open up this book to us in the way of life and in the way of appreciating and seeking Christ.
Ron, isn't it true? I think we've seen throughout this life study of Colossians, particularly in some of the earlier messages, Paul somewhat took the approach in Colossians of presenting a lot of facts, and really these facts were views of Christ that were quite unique and marvelous and high, and then he entered the mode of trying to bring the believers into the reality of the experience of such a view.
This follows Paul's own pattern, and our basis for saying that is Philippians chapter 3, and here Paul speaks first of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And then he goes on to speak of his experience of Christ. So we do need to have the proper spiritual understanding. And in this case, it's called the excellency of the knowledge of the all-inclusive, unlimited, universally extensive Christ. And if we have before us a kind of spiritual vista, then this becomes an incentive for us to experience and possess and gain and enjoy this Christ. So it's not surprising that in Colossians, Paul would present us aspects of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And then, as to be expected from Paul, to point the way for us to experience and enjoy such a Christ.
Okay, Ron, we have in our first section today something from time to time we do, not frequently, but this was, I thought, a good time. Witness Lee is going to go back and describe his own experience and the help he got directly from Watchman Nee on this very point about seeing what is true in Christ. I think this is a marvelous window, and I hope our listeners enjoy it.
Let me tell you a real story. Right after I got saved, when I was very young, under 20, I loved the Lord. Because of this, I got to read some books telling me that I have died, or I have been crucified with Christ. How could I be crucified with him? He was there, and I am here. And he was 2,000 years ago. How could I be crucified with him? Well, Brother Nee, he used a very good illustration. He illustrated in this way, based upon the fact in Hebrews chapter 7. There it says, when Abraham offered 1/10 to Melchizedek, when Abraham did that, Aaron also did that. Aaron was the descendant of Abraham. And how could Paul in Hebrew say that when Abraham offered 1/10 to Melchizedek, Aaron did it also? Then Paul in Hebrews 7 tells us, because when Abraham offered that to Melchizedek, Aaron was in Abraham's loins. Then Brother Nee illustrated, suppose when Abraham was offering the 1/10 to Melchizedek, by that time Abraham was killed. Don't you believe Aaron was killed also there? If Abraham was killed there by that time, Aaron could never be born. We're all being included in Christ. Included in Christ. When Christ was crucified, we've all been crucified there.
Ron, this is a very good graphic illustration, but I think probably many of our listeners are not familiar with Hebrews chapter 7, the passage that Watchman Nee was using and Witness Lee was elaborating on. Maybe you could develop this picture a bit to help bring into focus this point of being in Christ.
And to do that, I think it's best to be succinct and limit ourselves in the details. That in Hebrews, Paul is presenting a certain line of truth, and then he draws upon the situation recorded in Genesis 14 in relation to the priesthood, that the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek is superior to the priesthood according to the order of Aaron. So we have the story of Abraham after his battle against the kings, a meeting, or maybe it's better to say being met by Melchizedek, who came with bread and wine. And Abraham presented to Melchizedek the tithes. And the point that's being made in Hebrews is that Aaron and the whole Levitical priesthood that came much later was involved in Abraham's giving of tithes to Melchizedek, because they were, so to speak, in Abraham's loins and would be begotten through him eventually. So their experience of offering tithes to Melchizedek was included and implied in Abraham's experience. So simply put, when Abraham gave the tithes, all of his descendants who were in him also gave the tithes. And the point of this actually excellent illustration is that the principle is the same with the believers being crucified and raised with Christ. In God's point of view, which is not bounded by time, We were in Christ when he died, and we were in Christ when he was resurrected. And because we were in him, what is true of him is true of us in him. And it may be Brother Nee who uses the simple illustration of if we insert a piece of paper into a book and then take the book somewhere or put the book somewhere or put the book in our briefcase and carry it somewhere, the paper in the book is experiencing all that the book is experiencing.
Right.
Not directly, but in virtue of being inside the book. This is the thought.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to view ourselves apart from Christ. God views us in Christ. Because we are in Christ, what is true of Christ in his experience is true of us in Christ. And that is the basis for what is true in Christ becoming true in us, in our experience of what is true of us in Christ. So our experience is actually an entering into of what are the facts of our situation in Christ according to the divine view, the biblical view, God's view.
Okay, so we now have the facts clearly laid out. We are in him, therefore we are in his death, we are in his resurrection, even we have been raised with him and seated with him at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. Now we come back to Witness Lee in his search as a younger believer, trying to find the experience of now what he realized was true in Christ. Let's go back.
So you have to reckon that you are dead in Christ. Christ and you. And you have been put into Christ. So when Christ died, you died. This is the reckoning. Then I tried to reckon. I did try, desperate to reckon. I found out when I was not reckoning, I was not that bad. After I began to reckon desperately, I became more living. The more I reckon dead, the more I got alive. So I said to myself, this reckoning doesn't work. Now what should I do? I just don't know what to do. I left the problem there. One day, my eyes were open. That I saw. Listen. I saw what? I saw that the very Christ who was crucified on the cross, in his resurrection, was made a life-giving spirit. The crucified Christ, in his resurrection, was made a life-giving spirit. When we believe in him, this life-giving spirit comes into our spirit. So what? So we are one with him. I repeat, the very crucified Christ became a life-giving spirit in the resurrection. When we believe in him and call on his name, we call Lord Jesus, who comes?
Life-giving
spirit. Spirit comes. Jesus is his name, and the Spirit is his person.
Ron, I like the sequence as it's unfolding here today, because I think it matches our own. I think, as he did, many believers, I know I went through this period, tried desperately to reckon ourselves to be dead to those things that plague us. And we do this based upon the fact that we have been crucified in Christ. But in our experience, like his, it seems just the opposite. The more we try to reckon ourselves dead, the more we sense all of these things become very, very much alive. But he had a wonderful, marvelous, tremendous, practical realization. I'd like you to pick it up at this point and develop it for our listeners.
And as I try to do this, let me remind all of our listeners that, especially those familiar with the book of Romans, chapter 6, Paul tells us to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. In other words, this is the fact, so account it so.
Right.
If you give me a check for $1 million and I deposit it, you know, maybe not through a real live teller, but through an ATM machine, then I get a receipt, and then I can go home and reckon it to my account by writing it into the checkbook. So we are in no way minimizing the truth of Paul's word. But if we only have Romans 6, we find out it doesn't work. Then we make reckoning a matter of self-effort. We just try to make it happen. We just insist that it be so. And then we're not in Romans 8, we're in Romans 7. But if we go on in the Word and in our experience, we will see that what is the truth revealed in Romans 6 is the reality experienced in Romans 8, and the key is the Spirit, that Christ, in His resurrection, became the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. With His resurrected body, He's on the throne in the heavens, but as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, He resides in our spirit. And we emphasize all-inclusive because this Spirit includes the reality, the practicality, the effectiveness of Christ's death, and the power of Christ's resurrection. So what happens is, when we are in the Spirit, living and walking in the Spirit, the facts in Christ become our experience automatically, spontaneously, and effortlessly. So now we need another kind of vision, a vision of all that is in the all-inclusive Spirit. And if we want to experience the fact of our being crucified with Christ, what we need to do is this: simply be in the Spirit, call on the Lord, pray to Him, contact Him, and let the Spirit flow in our being. This flowing Spirit will automatically apply to us the fact that we have been crucified with Christ. The same with His resurrection and His ascension. And on it goes. The key to the experience is the Spirit. We need to understand from the Word that the Spirit contains the effectiveness of Christ's death. The Spirit is the reality of Christ's resurrection. When we are simply in the Spirit, everything is ours, actually, really, experientially, practically. Then by being in the Spirit, we experience the facts of what is true of us in Christ. So we need to be in the Spirit. That parallels being in Christ. When we are in the Spirit, what is true in Christ becomes real in us. That's about as plain as I can make it right now, Chris. The truth is in Christ. The reality is in the Spirit. When we're in the Spirit, we have the reality of what is true. In this way, what is true in Christ becomes true in us because Christ is in us as the Spirit, guiding us into the reality of all of these truths. And we experience Him, we enjoy Him, and we grow in Him in this simple yet marvelous way.
Ron, I'm very satisfied how these two have come clearly parallel and then converging, the facts in Christ and the reality in the Spirit coming together. We have a very brief section left, just one slight advance in the development of this marvelous presentation today on experiencing the reality of being in Christ. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
When you are in the Spirit, the debt is yours. When you are not in the Spirit, the debt is not yours. You see, from verse 20 through verse 23, it says, since you died. Why Paul says this, since you died? Because you have verse 19. Verse 19 says, holding the head. Where do you hold the head? In the spirit. When you hold the head in the spirit, you died. We all know this. Don't you know this by your experience? And this is why, I say again, Paul tells us, persevere in prayer and pray unceasingly. To pray unceasingly, it really means to what? To remain in spirit. When we remain in the spirit, we die. In the same principle, when we remain in the spirit, we all have the deep sensation we are raised. We are uplifted. We are higher. We are not done. When we turn to the spirit, just say, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Just this much, right away. You are uplifted. Raised with Christ. Where? You say, in Christ. No. Raised with Christ. Where? Since you were raised with Christ in your spirit, seek the things which are above.
Well, Ron, he picked up your thought right where you left it. So I'll ask you just to put a final punctuation on his final thought.
Well, he picked up my thought where I left it because I picked up his thought, which is an exposition of Paul's thought, and it's good enough to recapitulate. We need a vision of what is true of us in Christ. We need to read and study the Bible and know what the Bible says as facts concerning what is our history in Christ. Then instead of trying to work this out and apply it by our own energy, we need to see that the reality of what is in Christ is in the Spirit. The Spirit is the reality. We need to exercise our spirit, touch the Lord as the life-giving Spirit, live and walk according to the Spirit. Then everything that is in the Spirit will be applied to us automatically and effortlessly, and we will actually experience and enjoy what the Bible reveals concerning what is ours in Christ. Because I say again now at the end, what is true of us in Christ is now applied to us for our experience by the Christ who is in us as the Spirit. So may I remind our listeners, as Paul did Timothy, the Lord be with your spirit.
Thank you once again, Ron. I don't have to say how much I enjoyed this one.
Well, we just thank the Lord for just flowing in fellowship and enabling us to touch these precious things together.
Amen. For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.